Welcome to another Get Geekish podcast. I gave it a total game show intro there. Thanks for coming down. This week, we're doing another celebrity spotlight. It's Bino, joined by Derek.
We're not the celebrities, though.
Yeah, no. far from it. If you've ever joined us before, you know that we thank you for listening. We'll just put it at that. But once a month or so, we like to do a celebrity spotlight, picking out somebody from Hollywood and just kind of taking a little dive into their life and what they've done and relishing in some interesting facts about them. And we have a special one for you just in time for Halloween.
Right. I mean, it was one of those ones where I was thinking, I was like, there's so many different options that we can do. And then, of course, one of my family's favorite movies, we were watching it, and I was like, yep, that's what we're going to do. We were watching Nightmare Before Christmas, and of course, I'm talking about the one, the only, Tim Burton. Now, a lot of people are like, oh, you talk to him, like, Tim Burton, like, oh, man, he's weird. Apparently, he's really normal in real life, which I don't know if that's a sad thing or a shocking thing.
It seems more shocking because so many of his movies are...
Some.
how do I say this? Like, pushing the envelopes a little bit, being a little ostentatious, a little over the top, a little creepy, a little dark. Like,
yeah. You watch it and you're like,
You know, he's just getting his dark on. He's just, it's one of his things. But Tim Burton, if you don't know who he is, he's directed a lot of movies. If you don't know who he is, I'm not sure how you made it to this podcast, but...
Let's throw out the really popular ones there real quick. Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice, 1988. Edward Scissorhands. Nightmare Before Christmas. Ed Wood. Sleepy Hollow. Corpse Bride. Sweeney Todd. Dark Shadows. Frankenweenie. Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Batman.
There you go.
Batman
Jeez
Returns.
Louise.
Planet of the Apes. Big Fish. The new Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. The new Alice in Wonderland. Mrs. Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children.
Didn't he do Dumbo?
I believe so, yeah. So there's more. That's just, I mean, his IMDb list, I don't even want to know how long it is. If you go just for his producer, he's got 25 credits. And then if you go to director, there's 38, 15 for writer, 10 for actor, you know, lots and lots of things that he's been a part of. And a lot of them seem to fall into, we'll just call them the different fandom categories. He has a lot of movies that garner... fans for life.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the movies come out and they come and go, but a lot of his things, even Nightmare Before Christmas, it's hard to believe that movie came out in 1988.
That didn't come out in 1988. It came out in 93. Or 92.
Sorry, 93, yeah. But 93. That's
you're thinking of Beetlejuice,
yes.
I think.
Yeah, but Nightmare Before Christmas. A movie that's that old, it's stood any test of time. Like, I feel like it's on par with the classics of even the old claymation Christmas movies that... They'll be around for another 50 or 100 years, and people will still be like, oh, yeah, Night Before Christmas.
I think
yay!
That has to deal with our generation, because when that movie first came out, it didn't really do that great. And then it kind of got that cult following, and then all of a sudden we grew up and we could afford things, and they're like, hey, these kids really like that movie. Now they can buy stuff. Mm-hmm. So here you go.
Well, they called it cult followings, and I think the advent of digital technologies has turned it into people that want to watch things over and over again. Those are your hardcore fans. It doesn't matter if it's a cult following or not.
Yeah.
It can be the biggest movie on earth. Everybody's seen that movie. But if most of them don't ever want to watch it again, is it going to stick around and last? But when somebody can take a movie like Beetlejuice or Edward Scissorhands, and they could watch the movie repeatedly every year and still want to keep watching it, like... you did something good.
Yeah. Well, and especially with Batman, too, you know, that established Burton as a profitable director that he could produce good films for a low budget. Like, he's pretty crafty when it comes to stuff. I mean, you look at the set for Edward Scissorhands. If you ever have time, just look at all the facts for that movie on IMDb.
Mm-hmm.
It's some interesting stuff on there. quite a bit. I mean, and then, like, you know, he kind of made Batman popular with Batman and...
with the rest of the world.
Yeah,
outside
yeah.
of the comic lovers.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He took something different rather than the zany Adam West Batman and went...
he made Batman go dark.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I'm the knight.
But it's weird because when we were looking at this, we were kind of shocked because we learned some, this is why I like doing this, because we learned some stuff.
Yeah, and now I feel like when I like Tim Burton, I can actually have some stuff to back it up rather than, I like what he makes. Yeah. I know a little bit about him. One of the things that I like is that he was an artist since he was a little kid. He loved drawing as a kid. And he went to the California Institute of Arts studying character animation. He was an apprentice to Walt Disney Studios. But some of his movies are actually based off of doodles and drawings he did as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Frank and Weenie and Jack Skellington were both things that he drew when he was just a little kid and ended up making movies out of them as an adult.
And Frank and Weenie, he actually produced a... You know, it was a stop motion short that he produced when he was actually, he worked for Disney at a time as an animator and whatnot. And he did a short called Vincent and a short called Frankenweenie, which Disney was like, these are too dark for kids and didn't go anywhere. And then, what was it, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, we actually got a Frankenweenie movie finally.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you buy the DVD, it has his original short on there, which I'm sure you can find on YouTube now, but
yeah,
that's pretty cool. And also we learned that when he worked with Disney, he did animation for Fox and the Hound, and he worked on The Black Cauldron.
I love The Black Cauldron. Which love that movie.
I said that and you're like, what?
I had no really? Idea about that till tonight.
So I think maybe he did a good job getting fired by Disney or leaving Disney.
Well, he's done a few things. He's had a few of those things too that I feel like he's just doing something for the art or the craft of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because he said a few things. Like he said, Nightmare Before Christmas did not do well commercially at first. Ed Wood was a commercial failure. He's done a lot of things that didn't go over terribly well. But even Ed Wood, according to the box office, trash of a movie. It's still got a pretty big cult following.
Yeah.
If that had been a not Tim Burton movie, I don't think we would ever would have talked about Ed Wood again.
Correct. Well, and it's funny too, because like he has made some movies that you and I are like, you know, like the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, I don't love everything that he's done, but he definitely has a style that is interesting to follow along.
Well, it's funny too, because you look at James and the Giant Peach. A lot of people that had a lot of buzz behind it because of the claymation aspect, like he did with Nightmare Before Christmas. A lot of people kind of on that movie. I love that movie personally. Another one that I love, Mars Attacks.
Yeah, Mars Attacks. Such a good B-movie.
Like, just all the celebrities in that was just great. Just great.
You think of the connections he has around Hollywood. Like, he has so many different crossovers or people that he works with that are big-name people, but it's not necessarily all the A-list people gathering for one movie. He finds these perfect people to fill in roles. Like, when he brought in Vincent Price to be in Pee-wee's Big Adventure, or not...
Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah, Edward Scissorhands. Wow. Slightly different takes on those movies.
Yeah, a little bit.
But he seems to have this vision. Apparently on Beetlejuice, Michael Keaton did a great job, but his original vision was to have Sammy Davis Jr. as Beetlejuice.
I wish there was test footage of that.
I know, because I feel like that could have actually worked really well.
Yeah.
Not to diss Keaton, because I liked his performance, but that could have really, really gone over well.
That explains the voice, kind of, too.
Uh-huh.
Well, and that's the thing, too. You look at a lot of his movies have recurring actors in them. You know, Johnny Depp, of course. We know that. Danny DeVito pops up in quite a few of his movies as well.
With his 4-foot top hat.
Yeah. Helena Bonham Carter, which he ended up marrying her after they met on Planet of the Apes.
Yes.
And then we found out an interesting fact.
Yes, him and his wife, when he was married to Helena Bonham Carter, they had a, we'll call it an interesting relationship, because they actually lived together with kids, but they had adjacent apartments, so they didn't actually have to live together, which is apparent because she's really bossy and he snores really loud. So they just had apartments that joined together, but then they had their own living spaces. You know, hey, if it works, it works, right?
Yeah. Well, and he made Corpse Bride specifically for her as well. So, you know, that's saying something. And then he's tried different things too. He did the retelling of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Some people love it. Some people hate it. I'm indifferent.
I like both versions of it. The new one, it's got a few things that I don't like as much as the original, but there's a few parts I like better and vice versa.
Right.
But I think it was a good job because it was, he retold the story in a slightly different way, but still kept it pretty true to what the Roald Dahl story was about.
Right.
Like,
and then it looks like, I mean, he took on the musical Sweeney Todd,
which I wasn't a huge fan of, but for what it was well done. I just didn't like the story that much.
What, you didn't like people getting put in meat pies?
Not terribly.
And then, of course, Alice in Wonderland, where he's working with Disney. I mean, he's worked with Disney on a few things, obviously. Apparently, mm-hmm. he you know, did Dumbo, which didn't feel like a Tim Burton movie at all.
I think it's probably a good thing, though.
Yeah.
When Disney has to worry about things being too dark.
But Alice in Wonderland, I haven't seen that one. I heard it was kind of eh, but it's his highest grossing film.
Yeah, I didn't realize that movie. He's like the number 8th highest grossing highest grossing director's worldwide box office poll, and number 8 is Alice in Wonderland at $4.6 billion.
Jeez,
it's a lot of money.
He also directed a music video for The Killers. I did not know that.
Yeah, Bones.
Yeah,
that was a good music video. He's also dyslexic.
Yeah, I saw that too. See, this is why we do things. It's all about learning. You know, some people, like you said, just like Tim Burton for his movies. Now we're giving you backstory. One movie that I absolutely love of his that a lot of people do not, Big Fish.
There's people that don't like Big Fish?
Mm-hmm. It's because I think they want that quirky, weird... I don't know.
I feel like Big Fish had the quirky, but it just didn't have near the dark.
I don't know. Yeah,
but
I
thought it was. I loved Big Fish. I was expecting to hate that movie, and I walked into the theater like, "My, this was like the best movie ever."
It was such a good movie.
Gets you right in the feels.
It really does.
And I have to say, I don't know if he's the one that makes the decisions, but even the movies that I don't like, the casting in almost every one of Tim Burton's movies is nothing short of phenomenal.
Yeah. He does.
Like, whoever he has, whether he makes the decisions, the people that he hires, they know how to get the people that are going to fit perfectly. I can't think of a character in one of these movies that stands like, ugh, that person should have been somebody else. Like, I don't know.
Well, and that's even the thing, too, is you might look at, some people might look at Helena Bonham Carter and go, she doesn't need to be in this movie. Johnny Depp doesn't need to be in this movie. But it works.
Mm-hmm.
It they might not need to be in it, but you know, Johnny Depp as that weird guy with scissor hands, or Johnny Depp as Willy Wonka, or Johnny Depp, you know, well, the Johnny Depp Willy Wonka one was still a little iffy to me, but, you know, I don't know. You look at it, and he's had a pretty good career. I mean, he's even designed a balloon for the Macy Thanksgiving Day Parade. So, he's done quite a bit. I can't, oh, where's that one quote that I told you? That he doesn't, even though he worked on Planet of the Apes, he doesn't like apes.
He's like terrified of apes.
Yeah, he hates them. Let's see, it is right here. He said, quote, "You don't know whether chimps are going to kill you or kiss you. They're very open on some levels and much more evil in a certain way."
So I feel like that mentality might have helped him direct that movie.
That's a good point.
Do you know that he actually snuck in some versions of Jack Skellington in some other movies other than Night Before Christmas?
See, that's one thing that I saw too, and I was like, I know in James and the Giant Peach, because it's pretty obvious on that one.
Uh-huh.
This one's like, I saw one thing, I was like, if you look closely, I'm like, it's pretty obvious. But the other ones, is he kind of like sneaks them in there as Easter eggs, because that's his favorite character that he's created, right?
Uh-huh.
So, that's...
Night Before Christmas, you have James the Giant Peach, Alice in Wonderland, Coraline, Vincent, and Sleepy Hollow all have little bits and pieces of Jack Skellington that show up in there.
Did he do Coraline? Because if he did, that explains a lot. Mm-hmm.
He was doing a part of it on there. I don't know if he was the director, but he had something to do with Coraline for it.
It was him and Henry Selick, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was even Jack Skellington in Beetlejuice.
Like the Beetlejuice movie or mm-hmm. the cartoon?
The movie. The crazed carnival costume that Keaton wears towards the end of the movie. The top of the carousel hat features a little small skull on top that was Jack Skellington.
Wow, that's even before one of the... Yeah, that's before...
That was
Night
that,
Before
that
Christmas
was
came
BJS.
Out. Before Jack Skellington? Yeah, got it. Got it. Well, I mean, how many years did it take to make Nightmare Before Christmas? Maybe that was a concept and they were working on it, because that was, it took them forever to do all the stop motion on that, right? Yeah.
Technology's come a long way. We'll put it lightly there.
Well, I mean, a lot of people that maybe didn't like the claymation part of it. I loved it.
My mom didn't like it because we went to go see a Christmas movie and it's not very traditional. It's not very Norman Rockwell Christmassy. We'll put it at that.
I think that's why I remember getting the VHS for a birthday, and I don't think I saw it in the theater. I think the VHS was the first thing that I saw, and I was like, watch it. And my parents were like, this is weird. I'm like, this is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Took 3 years to make Nightmare Before Christmas. Shooting 24 frames per second meant the animators had to create unique motions for 110,000 frames total. That's not right. It's more frames than that. Yeah. 1 minute of the movie took about a week to shoot. So there you go.
Oh, that would be so painful.
So when you're watching that 80-minute movie and you're just like...
Yeah, you pause for the first 2 minutes of credits, like, well, there was 2 weeks of work.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of his normalcy, in high school, he looks kind of a dorky guy.
Yeah.
What sports would you have pictured him playing in high school?
Chess, to be quite honest with you. When they said that he was in sports in high school, it's like, nah.
Yeah, he was closer to a jock. He swam and played water polo at his Burbank High School in California.
Which, I don't know. Looking at that, it was... Yeah, like I said, he was part of the AV club, definitely. If we're going to go stereotypes.
And, you know, a lot of people make fun of sports fans for having certain superstitions, per se. But you notice in his movies, there's a lot of striped socks.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Burton actually wears striped socks because he thinks they're good luck. So when he wears pinstripe socks to movie premieres and other special occasions, Lucky Charms, and it translates to a lot of movies, Beetlejuice has a ton of stripes, Nightworkers has a ton of stripes, and pictures when he's at big events, he's generally got pinstripe socks on.
Makes sense. Let me tell you this one. I'm going to tell you this one. Tell me if you're shocked or not.
Okay.
He grew up on horror movies at an earlier age than most kids, and he has no memory of ever being scared, only fascinated.
See, and people judge me for...
I mean... That one doesn't shock me. That one, like, it makes sense.
Yeah, that seems right. You got, because to make the, you've got to be a little desensitized to certain things, right?
Mm-hmm. I guess.
He's got a ton of awards, too, so it's not like he's just a cult classic.
Right.
Let's see, he got nominated for Best Animated Feature for Corpse Bride and Frankenweenie from the Academy Awards. He won a Golden Globe for Sweeney Todd and was nominated for Sweeney Todd, Alice in Wonderland, Frankenweenie. He won nominated for 3 different British Academy of Film Awards. Big fish on that list. Nominated for a British America Children's Awards. Nominated for a whole bunch of Saturn Awards and won 3 of them for Nightmare Before Christmas, Corpse Bride, and Frankenweenie. Got an Emmy, got Cannes Film Festival, got a National Board Review Award, Chicago Film... I'm not going to...
Yeah.
This goes on for a while.
A lot. Something that I just found kind of shocked me, though, on this one. It says, despite his talent for visuals and his work on Batman, Burton has said that anybody who knows me knows I would never read a comic book.
Wow.
I wonder if he still never read a comic book. I mean, he did a pretty good job with Batman for not reading it. I guess maybe the script was just handed to him and they're like, hey, make this happen.
It seems so odd, too, of how many of his, I mean, how many Night Before Christmas comic books are there now? Has he never picked up one of those? Like, I'm not going to bother with that.
I guarantee you he's picked up the check from them.
Well, yeah, of course. But
man, I bet he'd have been an interesting kid to hang around with, because he made stop motions with his Super 8 camera when he was a child.
I feel like I would have been friends with him.
Right?
I don't know if me and adult him would be friends, but me and kid him would be friends for sure. Not that I think it's a bad thing. I just, you know, I'm probably not his cup of tea.
Yeah, that's true. That's
what's that supposed to mean? Well, I mean, supposed to jump to my defense, like, no, you're a great guy, Beto.
No, I'm just saying, I don't think either of us are his cup of tea, dude. He'd look at us and go, you guys read comic books, get out of here.
What tipped it off?
I stare around the office looking at comic book paintings on the wall. Okay, yeah. I'm a nerd. I'm good with that. I'm one with myself.
I guess we have, like, Pee Wee Herman to thank for him, because Paul Rubens hired,
brought him on board from...
Yeah, he hired
That was
him.
The first one, right?
Yeah, that was his first feature-length film was that. And you can kind of see it with Large Marge. Just
well, that's the thing. The Pee-wee's Big Adventure, there's a lot of creepy parts of that movie. Like, Pee-wee's Playhouse had its creepy moments, but it was like, ha-ha, creepy. Like, oh, that's a weird thing. But Pee-wee's Big Adventure, there are some downright scary parts. Large Marge, when she transformed into the monster and the truck driver pulls over, and a couple of the scenes they're going down there, those were straight up like, if those were in a horror movie, they wouldn't have been out of place.
I mean, not... From he went from directing Pee-wee's Big Adventure to Beetlejuice to then direct Batman, there we go, which grossed over $100 million in the first 10 days. So he's got talent.
Yep. Well, he must be a good judge of what to sign on, because we talked before about how the people he works with for casting do a good job, mm-hmm. but also music. Most of his movies have pretty phenomenal soundtracks. He's got Danny Elfman working with a bunch of them on there. But music is never a low point in a Tim Burton movie either.
Danny Elfman.
I know, but he's not in all of them.
No, I know, but I mean I was trying to think of somebody else who has always constantly usually worked with Tim Burton. It's Danny Elfman.
And you've got this little trifecta of people. You go, all right, we got Tim Burton, we got Johnny Depp, we got Helena Bonham Carter, we got the guy we just said his name of.
Danny Elfman.
Like, hey, we can make something happen with this.
Well, what's funny is I remember, you know, obviously I watched Nightmare Before Christmas before The Simpsons. I mean, I had seen The Simpsons, but I never paid attention. But when I actually started watching it, it was like music by Danny Elfman. I'm like, hey! Going on that comic book quote, did you know that he made a lot of comic book fans not happy?
Well, I'm sure, but just saying he doesn't like them. But what else?
Comic book fans were not happy with Burton's Batman, which took major liberties with the source material. He had the Joker kill Bruce Wayne's parents and let Vicki Vale into the Batcave. It's not canon.
Yeah, but... but that just goes to the comic book nerds and all of us, like... If we really pause to think about it, Batman would have had to let somebody in the Batcave. Mm-hmm. Somebody had to build the Batcave. Mm-hmm. He didn't just like carve that himself.
all the construction guys and engineers and everybody architects that built that are buried underneath one of the yeah. floorboards.
Thanks for your work in building this. Let me just get your check out of this back room. Ah, bat poison.
I'm really surprised that wasn't in the Tim Burton movie. Because that would fit right in. I forgot that he was engaged to Lisa Marie.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, he's one of the ones, like, a lot of directors, you don't hear a lot of personal life stuff, but he's had three wives and a few, like, he's been around some of the social circles, we'll see.
Lisa Marie was the inspiration for Sally. He also cast Lisa Marie in films such as Sleepy Hollow and Planet of the Apes and Ed Wood. I totally forgot that.
And he's probably in a lot of other things too. They're little like, oh, you know, showed up a little part of it or a little cameo of some kind. And
he says that he never dreams. He has an active imagination, but he never dreams, or at least he never remembers them.
I could buy not remember. My memorable dreams are few and far between.
Yeah, but at least you know you have them. This is basically him saying that he doesn't have them. Which I look at his movies, I'm like, dude, you've given me dreams, so. I'm pretty sure you have dreams.
Well, everybody has dreams, but...
Well, he said he doesn't.
No, he just doesn't remember them. He just must get a lot of really good sleep, or not near enough of it.
Maybe this is why he says that making films is like an expensive form of therapy for him. So, there you go.
If you're a director and produced all these movies, when you're sitting there staring at those frames over and over and over and over again, he probably dreams about working and doesn't even realize he's dreaming. You just spend 24 hours rooting through the same clip 13 times to find the perfect way. Something that you go to bed and you dream about that for 6 hours. You wake up like, I don't dream about anything. What are you talking about? I just looked at the film all night.
I wonder if this is still true, because he said after working with Jack Nicholson in Batman, he said it was a great choice for the Joker. He also said that actors who play villains are often nicer than people who play the heroes. I wonder if that's still true. Like, is Josh Brolin nicer than Chris Evans?
That's a good question. But then we're the ones to do both, because we go Michael Keaton. Michael Keaton's moved on to villains. He used to be heroes.
Oh, Beetlejuice could be classified as a...
He was a protagonist.
Okay.
I am kind of sad, though, that Tim Burton's website requires you to upgrade to the latest version of Flash to view, and I'm not going to do that.
Ugh.
Get with the times, Tim. Get your interns on that.
I'm glad that he won this argument, because when they were making Nightmare Before Christmas, the studio argued with Burton over how it would be possible for Jack Skellington to see without eyeballs. Jack wouldn't have the same charm if he had eyeballs popping out of that skull.
Oh, he'd look like a googly-eyed creature.
He would look really weird. He would look really, really weird.
What?
He's also one of the people that doesn't like spending time on the internet. Maybe that's why we have to upgrade to Flash.
He doesn't like the internet. He doesn't like comic books. Yeah. Man.
He isn't very keen on technology and would often rather be drawing than spending the time on the internet.
I can give him that, I suppose.
Not keen on technology yet. Your movies need.
He does have an exhibit in Las Vegas out right now.
Oh.
Yes, it's called Tim Burton's Lost Vegas at the Neon Museum.
How long is that going on for?
I don't know. I'm trying to find this out here. But
maybe we should book a ticket to Vegas. Also,
much reading. It's in there somewhere. Maybe. How long is the article? When was this article written?
It's 2015.
No, it's just written just this last week.
Oh, cool.
He visited Vegas as a child, and he remembers the seahorses, like giant seahorses, and its memories of it, and its weirdnesses. It opened Tuesday at the Neon. Here we go. Opening Tuesday Neon Museum. I feel like this is a sales pitch for him now.
I know, right?
Ooh, hey, guys! It's got the worm from Beetlejuice in it, too.
Nice. The sandworm.
It runs through February 15th.
Oh, we got
an
time.
An exhibition of sculptural and digital installations to celebrate Burton's links to Las Vegas and historical neon heritage. Tickets are just $30.
That's not too bad. You just got to get to Vegas.
I almost just sang Viva Las Vegas, but
I'm glad you didn't.
To not harm our lovely, lovely listeners.
Well, we've rambled about Tim Burton for I don't even know how long right now.
Long enough.
But I'm going to leave
like
it.
Tim Burton.
I'm going to leave it with this one fact here, because it's always baffled me when this pops up, and it always makes me curious what could have been. In the 1990s, he almost made a Superman movie, and Nicolas Cage would have been Superman. And they have the concept of what Nicolas Cage's Superman costume would look like, and I want to see that movie. And I don't like Superman, but I want to see what that movie could have been.
It feels like the start of a Saturday Night Live skit.
I know. there's concept picture, if you will, of like I think Nicolas Cage in the suit, and I'm like, I want more of this, and I don't know why. I want to see Tim Burton's Superman. Maybe in an alternate universe it exists. I don't know.
In your dreams.
Ah, there we go.
But let us know what your favorite Tim Burton movie is. I'd like to know, what you think too. Just go to the social media at Get Geekish. You can find the podcast link on there and throw a quote down there or a comment, a GIF, or
something.
Something. Let us know what your favorite Tim Burton movie is. I think I have a feeling on what the top votes are going to be.
Yeah.
But I want to see if that's true without actually saying it out loud. So prove me wrong.
You don't want to skew the...
Yeah, we're going to make this statistically valid, right?
Yeah.
Celebrity Spotlight wraps it up for Tim Burton. This is Get Geekish, and we'll talk at you next week.